بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. With respect to the actions of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام are either acts of worship or habit or natural, by nature. Him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, eating when he is hungry, this is jibilli, this is natural, right? Him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sleeping when the time of sleep arrives or occurs, this is jibilli, this is natural, right? And with respect to the habit, like his dressing, his domestic affairs and the like, these are many. Now, with respect to the worship, this is where it is apparent that what is intended is the worship, either by certainty or by preponderance. Understand? Now, therefore, what the Prophet ﷺ did as a means of nearness to Allah, meaning as worship, either we have a dalil, evidence, that it is particular to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or we don't have dalil, evidence of particularization, therefore it would be general to him and to the ummah. Is that clear? Clear, alhamdulillah, so far? Okay. So, there will be dalil, evidence for generalization, or there may be situations where we don't have a general an evidence for generalization nor for particularization. Take an example in Surah Al-Ahzab 33:50, in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَامْرَأَةً مُؤْمِنَةً إِنْ وَهَبَتْ نَفْسَهَا لِلنَّبِيِّ إِنْ أَرَادَ النَّبِيُّ أَنْ يَسْتَنْكِحَهَا خَالِصَةً لَكَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. O Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, verily we have made lawful to you your wives, to whom you have paid their dowry, and those captives or slaves whom your right hand possesses, whom Allah has given to you, and the daughters of your paternal uncles to the rest. This is evidence for what? Affirming particularization, right? Particularization regarding what? Regarding what? Marriage. Exactly. So it is permissible for him to marry nine. Right? Yes. Right. From the things that also were particular to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the wisal, continuation of fast, non-interruption with breaking of the fast. This is affirmed from the sunnah. So day after day, he did not break the fast between them. This is particular to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because he sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade wisal. And he said that, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, لَا يَزَالُ النَّاسُ بِخَيْرِ مَا عَجَّلُ الْفِطْرِ. People continue to be in a state of goodness as long as they what? Hasten the breaking of the fast. And he also said that the distinction between our fast and the fast of the people of the book is the Sahur, the meal of Sahur. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, therefore incited to eat in the beginning of the night and at the end of the night. And the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, because of their keenness on worship, some of them did wisal. So the Prophet ﷺ prohibited them and said, لا تواصلوا, don't continue. Because what? The wisal would be harm and hardship on the self. But because of their love to goodness, they continued. And when he saw them determined, he left them of the month of Shawwal took place. Then he said, لو تأخر الهلال لزدتكم. If the hilal of Shawwal would have been delayed, I would have left you to continue. Why? As a deterrence, actually, because of what they have done. So the important thing is that he forbade them to continue the wisal. Here's the point now. They said, O Messenger of Allah, but you do so. How do you command us to or how you forbid us to do something while you do it yourself? He said, Inni lastu kahi'atikum, I'm not like you. Inni adallu yut'imuni rabbi wa yasqini. Allah, I continue such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me food and drink. Provides me food and drink. Now if someone says, if Allah gives him food and drink, then isn't it he still on the state of wisal? The answer is no. Then how this is understood? Some of the people of knowledge said that Allah provides him from paradise, and that the food of paradise does not invalidate the fasting of the individual. This is one opinion. However, the correct opinion is not this one. And it is either that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the power to tolerate the thirst and hunger, and in this way he would not be like someone who... No, as I said, this is weak. Just leave the question, inshallah, to the end. No. But the correct opinion and that the matter is not like that. Meaning either that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the power, the ability to bear the drink and hunger, thirst and hunger, such that he would not be like someone eating and drinking, and that this is not to other than him. This is a possibility. This is a possibility, you understand? And the second, and this is not remote, it's not a remote possibility. However, it is not really fitting the high rank of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So the third would be, is that his heart is so busy with the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, and clinging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, clinging to what to that which is with Allah, and so he therefore in this case, he relinquished, he was in no need for eating and drinking. Why? Because if a person becomes busy, or his heart is busy with something, a regular person, if his heart is busy with something, he would forget eating and drinking, and would forget everything. Now, wouldn't you see that if someone meets his friend after a long time, and they sit talking from after Salat al-Dhuhr, and then suddenly they hear the Adhan for Salat al-Asr. And normally this person eats after Dhuhr. Would you think he would suffer from hunger, pain of hunger? The answer is, he wouldn't. Why? Because his heart is busy. Is not occupied with concern about food and drink. So, in this case, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his attachment to that with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one can attain. And that's why when he was conversing with Allah the Most High, he would stand in prayer until his feet swell. And this no one can bear. And here is Abdullah bin Mas'ud, the great companion, known for his keenness to do that which is good. He prayed one time with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he said, "Sallaytu, I prayed ma Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, fa atala hatta hamamtu bi amri saw." I prayed with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but he prolonged the prayer until I was about to do something bad. He said, or it was said, "And what was the thing you were about to do?" He said, "I was about to sit and leave him. I was about to sit and leave him." And this is in Sahih Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim. Yet we know that Ibn Mas'ud is younger, much younger than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the young person bears more than the old one. So from this we conclude that the wasal is particular to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now we have two examples on particularities. One from the Quran and the other from the Sunnah. What was the one from the Quran? What was the one from the Quran so far? The marriage of nine. Exactly. The marriage of nine. What was from the Sunnah? What is from the Sunnah rather? From the Sunnah now, the wisal. The wisal. Yes. Tayyip. Concerning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's action. If there is no dalil for particularization, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam does an action as a means of nearness, then in this case, there are three opinions regarding this matter. The first, that it is wajib, obligatory. The second, that it is recommended. The third, no position, meaning not to say it is wajib nor it is recommended. Rather, we say it is an obedience and a means of nearness. And the correct opinion from these three sayings is that it is regarding the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself, it is wajib. If there is no conveyance by other than that, meaning by other than the action. And if the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam does an action, and he does not clarify that this action is recommended, and that the conveyance to the people does not take place except by this action, then this action is wajib upon him, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why? Because he sallallahu alayhi wasallam is commanded to convey. And if there is no conveyance except by the action, then the action is wajib. And with respect to us, we have the three sayings. It is wajib. The second, it is mustahab, recommended, or refraining. Like, for example, the mentioning of the hadith we mentioned earlier. The Prophet ﷺ, whenever he entered his house, he began with the siwak. Right? He began with what? With the siwak. Brushing his teeth with the siwak tool. Right? This is an action. Did he command this? Did he command this? No. So therefore, it is incumbent upon him to make the siwak, to do the siwak. Because it is a worship, which we didn't know of except through the action. Now, with respect to us, as you have heard, it is said that it is wajib, or recommended, or refraining. Those who said that it is wajib with respect to us, they took the evidence, the following statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. Indeed, in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have a good example to follow for him who you hope, for him who hopes in the meeting of Allah and the last day of remembrance. And we all hope, narjullah, we have hopes in Allah and the last day. So those who said that it is wajib with respect to us, they took this as evidence. Now those that they said it is mustahab, recommended for us, they said, well, because the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did it as a means of nearness, this necessitates that we do it. And in principle, they said, there is no punishment upon abandonment, you know, and this is the principle. Therefore, it's preponderant that we do the action while there is no punishment upon abandoning it. So therefore, this is more correct of an opinion, being mustahab, being recommended. As long as there is no, remember what we said earlier, before this comment, as long as there is no dalil, as long as there is no dalil wujub, for its wujub upon us. As long as there is no dalil, that it is obligatory upon us. Now, what about the thing which it's not clear for us that he didn't do it as a means of nearness to Allah? It's not clear whether he did it as a means of nearness or not. This is referring to the matter which is ada, habit, or natural. As to the natural or jibilli, we cannot describe it in terms of ruling. We can't say it's wajib, nor it is mustahab, recommended, or allowable. Why? Because it is jibilli. It is natural. Whenever a person, and he falls asleep, he sleeps. And the person cannot relinquish the sleeping in forever. So therefore, we cannot describe this matter as being obligatory or allowable or haram from its essence. But rather, we say it's a wajib if staying without sleep or having little sleep weakens him. And we can say it is haram if he sleeps and does not perform the salah with the congregation. But from its essence only, we say that sleep is a natural matter and it does not take a ruling on its own. Is that clear? Now, about the actions which he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had done as a habit, some of the scholars mentioned that this is allowable, but really one should not restrict himself to the allowability. Rather say, whatever he did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a habit, then doing it is mustahab, is recommended, however, not in essence, but by kind. Not in essence, but what? By kind. Example. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people were accustomed to wear izar, the lower garment, and the upper garment, and imama, turban, generally, right? So we say, the fact that the people wore these things is good. Lest people become irregular regarding this dress, and lest it becomes a dress of fame. Then, now if we want to apply this in our times, and we come to the salah, each one of us wearing a zar, lower garment, or and an upper garment and a turban, we say that this is a dress of fame. It's not recommended. And the recommended is to put on what people are accustomed to put on in our times, with us, in our communities. And that's why when the companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, when they opened the lands, they put on the dress of the people of the land, lest they be what? Distinguished. And then they will be pointed at in the circles, and they say that this is, yes, distinct. Distinguished. A meaning separate. Lest be distinct from the rest of the people, and they will point to them and they say, this is, look what these people are putting on. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ forbade wearing that which would become of a fame, of the libas al-shuhra. So therefore, in summary, the actions of the Prophet ﷺ, which he had done as a means of worship and worship, and those that he had done as habit, and those that he had done as jibilli, natural, are the types of actions which he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And each has its own rulings. Wallahu ta'ala ala wa alam, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.